There's so much one could remember this Ashes series for. The two two-day tests, Travis Head's lightning-fast century in Perth, the state of the MCG pitch, England's woes. And then there's the spat between the ABC and Cricket Australia. The source of the dispute, these comments made by former Australian fast bowler Stuart Clarke on ABC Radio.
James Allsop, who runs cricket in Australia, the head of cricket, community cricket, is a grade club cricket coach who throws underarm balls to kids. That's where his background is. He's a lovely guy, don't get me wrong, but he now runs the whole of cricket. Okay. He can't tell Andrew McDonald, Steve Smith what to do. And then you go, I think, is Ben Oliver still there?
Yeah, he is.
Yep. Yeah, so he runs high-performance cricket, but I'm not really sure what he does now. Yep. And then you got George, who's the chairman of selectors. Does he have the gravitas or the leadership skills to tell Andrew McDonald and Stephen Smith or Pat Cummins what to do?
He should do.
He should do, 100%, but I don't think he does.
Clarke was criticising the head selector of the men's team, George Bailey, and senior CA executive James Allsop and Ben Oliver. In response, Cricket Australia then refused to provide a player for interview by ABC Radio after day three of play. The issue now appears to have been put to bed with Usman Khawaja fronting up for the day four post-play interview. But the drama off the field has raised questions about the governing body's power and influence over the media. Gideon Haig is a veteran cricket journalist who writes and produces a podcast, Cricket et al. Welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Nice to be back.
Gideon Haig, what do you make of all this?
Well, I mean, for a start, isn't it interesting that we're still playing these comments, which would otherwise have passed unremarked and unobserved, had CA not intervened so clumsily? You know, these are robust opinions. Cricket is an environment of robust opinions. Stuart gives his views unvarnished, whether you agree with them or disagree with them. Now, it's okay for CA to complain that the remarks are uncalled for or inaccurate, but to indulge in sort of tit-for-tat retaliation, as they have in this instance, by denying the ABC a player at the end of the day's play, it was a gross overreaction on their part. And I think it gives an indication as to the state of relations between the Australian team and the media at the moment, which should be much better than they are, considering that Australia is doing so well on these ventures.
What's gone wrong there then?
Look, I was talking about this last night on the podcast. I think one of the factors is that we're in Sydney and it's the end of a long, hot summer. The final test, everyone's kind of a bit sick of one another. They just want to go home and have a bit of a rest. So temper is a little bit frayed. I think George in particular, George, the chairman of selectors, has come under some criticism this summer, which of course goes with the job. But it's always a talking point, isn't it? Everyone's got a view on selection. Everyone wants to have their say. And George, who I actually think is very good at his job, but is in a slightly awkward position when he's only one of a committee, and the team is doing well, but the team is also old. He's going to get attention because of the particular stage that the team is at.
And, you know, is it usual for CA to provide the ABC and other media organisations with a player after each day? I guess what I'm asking is how big a sanction was the refusal at the end of day three to provide the ABC with someone?
Well, it's not a contractual obligation. It's a courtesy that is extended to all the radio networks as part of their ongoing interest in the game. I think there are four or five radio networks that are broadcasting the cricket, and they all turn up at the boundary edge at the end of the day, and a player is brought over to give them some unique content, to give them the opportunity to ask some questions, and then that player usually goes into an all-in press conference that the written media attend. So it's not a huge deal, but it's a kind of a symbolic deal. And you did get a sense that it was a little bit of a shot across the bows of the media from the Australian team. You know, don't be critical of our mates. I mean, it's ironic to find the chairman of selectors being stood up for by players. Normally the relations are a little bit more strained. But it isn't an indication of how cohesive and united and also clannish this Australian team is. You know, touch one, touch all.
On Radio National Breakfast, I'm with the cricket journalist and writer Gideon Haigh. Do you worry that people may censor what they're saying as a result of this to try and avoid the same fate?
I worry about that, but I also worry about its opposite, that the media will object to this and actually begin to test the boundaries of what's acceptable behaviour. In some ways...
Is that a worry?
I reckon that that what we've seen in the last few days is actually a vindication or confirmation of the view that the team is a little bit clicky, that the team is a little bit insular, the team is a little bit oversensitive to criticism. So in some ways, you know, they're pushing back has substantiated a view that had previously been sort of muttered sotto voce.
Now, hopefully this Ashes series won't be remembered for the spat with the ABC. How do you think, zooming out, it will be remembered?
I think it'll be remembered as a huge disappointment. We came into this series with very high, justly high expectations. Both these teams had played terrific five test series against India in the last 14 months. They played a terrific Ashes in England in 2023. England really fancied their chances out here, not without reason. England enjoyed the kind of luck that visiting teams dream of. You know, Pat Cummins has played one test match this summer. Josh Hazlewood hasn't played any. Even Steve Smith missed the test. So Australia was well below full strength at various times. England had a pretty good run with injuries. Ben Stokes has managed to get through almost the entire series. Joe Root has made 200s, having not previously made them in Australia. If all of these factors had been considered at the start, you would almost have considered England favourites. But they've played well below the sum of their abilities. And Australia has, like a good team does, found a way. Players have stepped up. Players have shouldered additional responsibility. Older players have made significant contributions, and there's been a general consistency and professionalism around the Australian team, so which was on show again in Sydney yesterday. You know, it was tough bowling conditions. There was a little bit in the pitch, but not much. It was a fourth day; everyone was a bit tired, but Australia still managed to work their way through the England batting lineup.
And we'll see whether it's 4-1 or 3-2 by the end of the day. Gideon Haigh, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Gideon Haigh, a veteran cricket journalist. He writes and produces a podcast for Cricket et al.